All right, we're going to start out in Acts chapter number 3 tonight. We are still dealing with spiritual gifts, and we're dealing specifically with the sign gifts. We wrapped up the gift of tongues, and we want to take a look at now the gift of healing. So-called exercise of the gift of healing today is another trademark of the charismatic movements. And again, it's not done in a biblical way. And it is a sign gift. The book of Acts records 4 specific miracles of healing plus 3 general statements that healing occurred. And by way of introduction, I want us to consider the account of Peter and John healing the lame man here in Acts chapter number 3. Look at Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, ask alms of them to enter into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wondering. Again, we see here a sign gift drew a crowd for preaching. Tongues drew a crowd in Acts chapter number 2. Here, there were 3,000 saved there. Here, we're going to see that there were 5,000. If you look at chapter number 4, in verse number 4. So howbeit many of them which heard the word, Peter preached. You'll notice that Peter, the verses we're not reading as Peter preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the result, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. We don't know how many women and children may have gotten saved, but we knew 5,000 men did. But I want you to note several things here. First of all, Peter and John did not claim any special power or ability. In fact, if you read on to verse number 12, chapter 3, verse 12, says that when Peter saw it, he answered the people unto the people, "Ye men of Israel," and again, you notice sign gifts were for Israel. These were Israelites come rushing up to see what had happened. A sign had been given, and he was able to preach to a bunch of Jews. "So, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus." And then he just begins to preach Jesus right there. And they did not claim any special power or ability. They gave all the glory to God. And the apostles healed the man right where he was. You know, they never went around holding healing meetings. You know, you'll never find a healing meeting in here. The afflicted man was really not even seeking to be healed. You know, he was wanting money. You know, just wanting help. He was looking to receive something of them, is what verse 5 says. Expecting to receive something, because he was asking alms. That's money. And the healing was complete. I mean, this guy got up and he received, it talks about he received feet and ankle bones received strength. We don't have any mention that there was ever any relapse. In fact, none of the apostolic healings mention any relapses of anybody. It was complete healing. And this miracle really was a minor thing compared to the miracle that came out of it. And gospel preaching was the major focus of this. And everything the apostles did, that was their focus. It wasn't doing the signs. It was preaching. The signs were to get a crowd to preach. Signs were to draw the Jews' attention and preach. And that's what they did. There are 9 verses here to really give the account of the healing. There are 16 verses that summarize Peter's preaching, through which about 5,000 were saved. Now, the apostles also, note, did not require faith on the part of the man that they healed. They didn't say, well, if you've got faith enough, you can be healed. No, they said, such as I have, give I thee. Boom. And he said, just rise up and walk. And he did. Now, let's take a look at what the Bible teaches about divine healing tonight. That was just an introduction. The Word of God teaches divine healing, but opposes, really, the practices that we see of many of the present-day so-called divine healers. We know that God is omnipotent, and His power extends to His ability to heal the physical body. In fact, we know that God can heal anyone. Nothing's beyond His ability. In fact, book of Ephesians tells us He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. He's able to do that. He can heal anyone at any time and in any way that He wills. If He just wants to do a direct healing, boom. If He wants to use doctors involved, get doctors involved, boom. If He wants to have prayer involved in it, it's up to God. God's the one that heals. If He just wants to use the natural processes of the body, your body heals itself a lot of times, right? You get a cut, and over a process of time, it heals. Well, that's a miracle of God. It ain't come from evolution. There's no evolution involved in that. It was God created us that way. And you'll find none of the methods used by the charlatans of today. You'll find some of the methods like selective sickness. They pick and choose the kind of things that they supposedly heal. Don't be bringing them any broken bones. They don't want to put any broken bones together. You've got a broken leg. Well, go get that set somewhere. Not going to raise any dead. If you're that far gone, just call the morgue. Call the funeral home. Because they can't do anything for you. And especially if you're out in the graveyard. That wasn't any problem for Jesus, was it? Go to the graveyard, and Lazarus come forth. Boom. He came forth. That's what I call healing. Amen. he healed him. There were no sideshow stooges back during this day. And I'm talking about people who go around and they're healed in every town. You see some of the same faces over and over again. Didn't have any of that stuff. Or sensationalism, that goes on with the healing of the day, with the emotional music and the rhythmic repetition and what I like to call climatic clowning. I mean, it's a sideshow is what it is. It's not really of God. The issue is not can God heal, but rather is the gift of healing operational today? And I want us to consider some things. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. We want to look at the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to turn to all of the passages. Just want to turn to this one passage that deals in general. And it speaks specifically of Jesus' healing. Actually, the Gospels record 18 specific miracles of healing by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll take a look at some things about those here in just a minute. But to look at Matthew 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner." Notice that. Did you get that? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." If you study the healings of Jesus, you'll find that Christ healed people where he found them. Now, a lot of times they would come to him, you know, where he was at, especially when his fame of what was happening with regard to him began to spread abroad. He wasn't asking people to come out for a healing service. He was preaching. If you notice the main thing he was doing there, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, there was no special healing meetings ever conducted that you'll find. Christ healed all manner of sickness. There was no screening process employed to eliminate the hard cases. There's no case too hard for God. No case too hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. He created this body. He can recreate this body. You know, he created the body. When he created it, he saw that it was good. Remember in Genesis chapter 1? He saw that it was good. Well, what happened? Sin entered in. See? He can overcome the things that sin has brought into our lives. You know, a lot of us got problems in our bodies. Very evident. We just went over the prayer list a while ago. It's about every one of us. We've got something, whether it's on the list or whether it's not on the list. You take a look at that issue that you have. Well, it goes back to the Adamic sin. It goes back, you know, it's not because you sinned a particular sin. It's because you are the sin nature. You're born of Adam. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The moment you were born, you began dying. It seems odd, doesn't it? But that's the reason why you have to wash. You know, your cells start dying. If you don't wash the dead cells off, you begin to stink. You know, that's what happens. And we know that not only because of being born of Adam, but also living in a sin-cursed world. It's part of living in a sin-cursed world. But we know that Christ is able to overcome anything, any problem that we have in our body. You think about it. He's going to take the dead. When he comes back again, there'll be a lot of folks that are in graves, a lot of folks that disintegrated. You think about the 3,000 people that were disintegrated on 9/11. You know, all there is just ashes throughout, you know. Some of those were believers, no doubt. I would guess that there were at least some believers in that crowd. Well, the dead in Christ can rise. And that corruption is going to put on incorruption. And mortals going to put on immortality. He's going to recreate it again. Amen. He's going to completely heal that thing. We're not going to ever have any problems with these bodies again. Now, this is not in the notes. It's just a fact. When you think about Jesus, he created it to begin with, and when he recreates it, he's going to recreate it. We're going to have a body just like his, that resurrected, glorified body. Praise the Lord. Christ's healings were complete. You'll find there were no failures, no relapses, and nobody need to convalesce anywhere. You know, they didn't have to, "Well, you need to go home and rest a while now. You'll be okay in a couple of days." It wasn't the way it was. You just, hey, you're healed. Christ's healings were free of charge. There were no offerings, no books, no handkerchiefs, no gimmicks. Today, it's just like a sideshow. It's like a circus, and they charge. And they're looking for something from you. It'd be like Peter and John saying, okay, well, you know, lame man, what you going to give us? What you got in the cup there? You know, he's asking alms. You give us an offering, we'll heal you. They didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that either. Christ at times even discouraged testimonies. Mark 7:36, he told them, be quiet. Don't tell anybody, but yet they went and told anyway. Christ's healing ministry was related to Israel. Remember how we've seen that signs were for Israel? I don't think there's any doubt about that from Scripture. Those he healed were generally either unsaved or were saved at the same moment that he healed them. Second thing we see here is healing is one of the sign gifts. Quite obviously, healing is listed with tongues in Mark 16:17-18. We've already read those passages of Scripture numerous times, but it's one of the sign gifts. As seen previously, the sign gifts were given to confirm or authenticate the message and the messenger of God. And because healing is a sign gift, we know that it was transitory and therefore not available for today. It was really for the Jews. When the Jews rejected and when Israel ceased to be a nation, 70 A.D., the invasion by the Romans destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, and they were scattered. Israel was not a nation at that point. They were driven into all kinds of nations. And like the miracle manna, which ceased when Israel entered in Canaan, you remember they were out in the wilderness and God fed them with manna. Manna, 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 manna. Well, when they entered the promised land, they had milk and honey. Land flowing with milk and honey. Didn't need the manna anymore. And listen, that's the same way it is with the gift of healing. It was done away with when the written word of God, the New Testament, was completed. So, healing is one of the sign gifts. Number three, continuing physical healing is not provided for in the atonement. You know, some people will take passage of Scripture, take a look at Isaiah 53:5. And you can go ahead and turn to that other one there, Matthew chapter number 8, if you want to. It'll be right over there to take a look at that. But let's take a look first at the prophecy related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Isaiah 53 is the chapter of the suffering Savior. Jews really didn't know how to deal with Isaiah 53. Still don't know how to deal with Isaiah 53. They don't understand it. Well, the reason they don't understand it is because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one that was taught. It's the one that Isaiah 53 was talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that He would come, give His life a ransom for our sin. And Isaiah 53 and verse number 5, speaking of Jesus, said, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him." And notice this, "with His stripes we are healed." Well, there it is, Jerry. Brother Jerry, with His stripes we're healed. Well, that was fulfilled in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8, verse 16 and 17. In fact, the Bible tells us it was fulfilled when Jesus walked the earth. Okay? And it was even before His crucifixion. Matthew chapter number 8, and verse number 16 says, "When the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Now, look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2. The healing we receive today is soul healing. You know, He purchased our soul healing. He healed us from the sin that it causes so many issues. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse number 24. Speaking of Jesus again, 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now see, the very context of by whose stripes you were healed is dealing with salvation there. The very context shows that it's dealing with salvation. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree. We being dead to sins, we died in Him on the tree, and we have righteousness because of Him. Because He lives, and we can he took our sins, we took His righteousness. I would call that a healing, wouldn't you? You know, you've been healed in that you're no longer a hell-bound sinner. That's what it's talking about. Now, a fourth thing here. Does God heal physically today? Well, God cannot only heal. I mean, He not only can, but He most certainly does heal the physical bodies of people today. Clearly, however, the criterion is if it be Thy will, if it's His will for us to be saved. That's why we pray that way. We don't know what, you know, sometimes we pray for folks to be healed and we don't know what God's trying to accomplish in their lives. Many great Christians we know were not healed. So it's not always God's will to heal. I'm not going to turn to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. You're very familiar passage to you, though. I've referenced it a couple of times, even during this study. But it's where Paul has the thorn in the flesh. And he goes to the Lord three times to get the thorn in the flesh removed out of his life. And that's a physical malady that's going on there, thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. It was not God's will to heal him. God wanted him to just rest in His grace, and God was able to do more through his life with him with that thorn in the flesh, resting on the grace of God, than He could do with him had He healed him. And we might consider that in our own lives sometimes. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll turn to some of these others here. Philippians 2 and verse number 25 through 30 talks about Epaphroditus. And Ephesians 2 verse number 25. Ephesians 2, 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but you're a messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. So Epaphroditus, that we know, see, it was God's will to eventually heal him, but it was not an immediate thing. And this church prayed for him. They had cared for him. We don't have any indication here that the Apostle Paul laid hands on him to heal him or anything. Quite obviously, the Lord was content with him. Maybe it was for the purpose of the Philippian church learning about prayer. Maybe it was for Epaphroditus learning to lean upon the Lord. And you don't know what God was doing in Epaphroditus' life. Look at Timothy, We know that Timothy had a malady. That when we studied the book of Timothy, we saw this. 1 Timothy 5:23. Paul mentions here to Timothy to drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Well, why didn't Paul just lay his hands on him and heal him? Paul was an apostle, and surely Paul could have done that. Well, quite obviously, it wasn't God's will. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20. We'll find another fellow. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20, Trophimus. 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Well, why did Paul leave him there sick? Why didn't he just lay hands on him and heal him? Why didn't the Lord just heal him? Well, it wasn't God's will for him to be healed. And we have to accept sometimes that it may not be God's will to heal us from that particular malady, whatever malady that we may have in our lives, whatever illness we may have, but God may have a further purpose. And if He chooses to take us out of this world, He's even got a purpose in that. And we need to accept that fact. Many great Christians were not healed, so it's not always God's will to heal. Now, clear instructions are given for whenever church members fall sick, what to do. Look at James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Verse number 13 and 14. James 5, verse 13, 14, and 15 here says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. You got an affliction tonight? Well, don't only ask us to pray, you pray. Yeah, we'll pray for you, but you pray. Look to the Lord. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, the prayer of faith here is not a wishful thinking or a dramatic pronouncement of healing. Faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. And the Word of God shows us that not God doesn't always heal. Okay? But listen, all true healing is divine healing. Even the natural processes of our bodies, God created those. Even the healing of a cut is a marvelous thing. I know whenever I get these hangnails, I'm glad when the Lord finally heals those things up. I get them bad this time of year. The cold, something about the cold, but just eat my hands alive. But I'm thankful for the healing of the Lord. It'd be bad if they just stayed open all the time and never healed up. But God is the one who even gives wisdom to men. And He gives wisdom to your doctors. You know, when we pray for somebody, as I went to the hospital yesterday and prayed for Miss Anita as she was fixing to go in for the procedure. And I not only pray for her, but I pray for the doctors and the ones that would be caring for her, that God would guide their hands, give them the wisdom they need to do. God's the one that gives wisdom. What was I doing? I was really acknowledging that God's the one. If healing is going to be given, if things are going to be found out, if this was going to be any good for her, God was going to see to it that it was good for her. Amen. Now, Satan, we know, is also able to work miracles. Be careful of just thinking that every miracle is coming from the Lord. Look at Acts chapter number 8. This will be the last place I have you turn. Acts chapter number 8. we considered this previously, but I want you to know that Satan works through men. We see one particular one here in Acts 8, verses 9 through 11. A fellow by the name of Simon, known as Simon the Sorcerer. Remember him? Look at verse number 9. So, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Sounds like a faith healer, doesn't it? That's exactly the way the faith healers of today, they are. They bewitch people, rook them out of their money, you know, to make them think there's something great that they need to look to them if they're going to receive anything. Notice verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. Boy, he had a great following. Saying, this man is the great power of God. Just because somebody says it, don't make it so. I've heard independent fundamental Baptists who didn't know no better than to watch those things. And they talk about one of those charlatans being he's just a great man of God. No, he's not. Don't be deceived. To him, notice verse 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Need I read any more? I don't think so. Things change when they believe the preaching of Philip there. Notice verse 12, but when they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon, you know, he saw this going on. He thought, well, if I'm going to keep my following, I got to go through with this too. And he consented to be baptized also. Stick around with Philip. And he wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done, according to verse 13. He was seeing some true signs. He was bewitching people. He wasn't really doing anything. But the signs and miracles and wonders that were done by Philip were of a different nature. They were a divine nature. Listen, Jesus warned us. In Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, Paul warned. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Don't be simple-minded. Don't be deceived by good words and fair speeches. And then, of course, we mentioned also that I believe all this just being stirred up again in these 20th and 21st century, you know, it's there toward the end of the, especially the 20th century and beginning here. We're getting close to the time that Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And what does that mean? Well, we know that that's going to be a time of deception in the tribulation period. When Jesus comes back, man, people are going to be deceived by the Antichrist, by the false prophet. I mean, even the Antichrist is going to be healed from a deadly wound in his head. Think about that. Revelation 13, 14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. God's going to allow it to take place because people are going to be looking for those signs rather than just looking for Jesus. Don't look for signs, look for the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that's the study for tonight. Let's pull out the prayer list and let's just pray for these that have needs tonight. Brother Jerry, you came in after we went over the list. How's Miss Anita doing? And they did determine she's going to have the valve surgery. Second of March, he said. Okay. All right. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for your great love for us. We thank you for being the healer. We thank you that, Lord, whatever problem we have, whatever we face, that you have the power to overcome those things in our lives. And if it's not your will to heal, you have the power to give us grace to see through and to lean upon you for your purposes, for what they're there for. And God, we just pray tonight for these needs that have been mentioned. Lord, we pray especially for all these folks, and many Christians are caught up in this bad weather that's going across our nation. Many are suffering. And Lord, I know churches that have suffered great loss because of the things that have happened. And we just pray for those that are believers. We just pray for them, for their needs. And we pray for, Lord, your grace in the time that they're going through. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with all those that are going through this most difficult time, with the ice and the snow and all that that goes along with that. Now, Lord, we pray for these folks that have physical needs, especially our people. Just be with this daddy, Lord, and just pray she can heal from this fall. Just pray that there's nothing really damaged there. And we just pray that you'd help her to be more steady on her feet. And Lord, we just thank you for Miss Gertrude being able to be back with us tonight. Just pray you continue to touch her and give her strength, if it be your will, and help her to get over these issues that she's facing. Pray you be Brother Charles. Thank you that he's feeling better. Just pray that you give the doctors wisdom as he goes to have this CT scan done on Friday. Lord, just give him grace. And Lord, we just pray they might be able to determine what's going on there. We know that you already know. We just pray, Lord, if it be your will, that you help them be able to give him some relief. And pray for Brother Doug, and when he with his blood issues here, just pray that, Lord, that you'd help him to get back to where he needs to be at. And just thank you for helping me to heal from the respiratory problem that he faced the last couple of weeks. And just, Lord, just pray that you'd help me. Thank you for giving me strength tonight to be able to speak. And thank you for the grace that you give. Pray for Miss Anita. And Lord, as she goes to get this consultation regarding the heart valve surgery, just pray, Lord, to give the doctors wisdom, give Jerry and Anita your wisdom to know what to do. And Lord, just lean upon your grace during this time. Thank you for that Emily's doing better. Just pray for Mary and her arm situation. Just pray that you'd help that to heal and for her to be able to get back to work. And Lord, just pray that her job would do right, that this is caused from repetitive motion of doing her job, and that the workman's comp might be able to take care of that for her. Just pray for Stephen as he goes back to the heart doctor that has his iron check, that you would be with him. Lord, we just pray for Marlon Maddox, who had a heart attack, and just pray, Lord, that you'd help this one to, Lord, to heal from this time, if it be your will. Pray for the Armington family, and Lord, they're bereaved, and others that are bereaved. Just pray for my friend, Brother Gay, Lord, that you'd help him as he recovers from a heart attack. Pray that you'd strengthen him, that he might be able to be back in the pulpit, if that's your will for him. And if not, that you'd give him clarity as what you'd have him to do. Lord, just continue to pray for Miss Pat as she goes through the treatments. I know it's got to be discouraging to have cancer return time and time again. But Lord, I just thank you for the spirit that they have and to lean upon you, and just pray that you give them the grace that they need. And pray for my brother. You can continue to strengthen him. Just pray for Kathy Doan. Lord, as she seeks a job closer to home, and the help there, be with Dodie as she seeks a job. And just pray for Drs. McClinic and Pilcher, as, Lord, the disruption that of having to make changes. Just pray for what they're having to go through, and that you give them, Lord, to meet their needs. Just thank you for our missionaries, and Lord, even though we didn't hear from any, we still pray for their needs, and we just pray especially for the Boltons. Thank you for them safely arriving in the Philippines. Just pray you give them a fruitful trip, and Lord, just meet their needs as they're out of the country. Just pray, Lord, that many souls will be saved, and that Christians will be strengthened, and Lord, that your will would be done as they're there. Now, Lord, just go with us as we leave this place tonight. We just pray that we might honor you with our lives. And, Lord, help us to be mindful of you each and every day as we go about. And, Lord, be mindful of our testimony. If others are looking at us. And, Lord, to be the salt that we're supposed to be the light that we're supposed to be, that you would have us to be. And, Lord, that you would help us to be witnesses. With our lips and with our lives. And Lord, to be ready to give an answer of the faith that we have. Just give us safety to our homes, protect our people, Lord. And I just pray that you'll all of our folks that are suffering, Lord, that you help them to come back, be able to be back with us soon. And then, Lord, we just pray that your will would be done in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.